Hi, this is Melissa, and today I'll be reading from Jonathan Franzen's The Corrections on page 366 in my version. It's when Denise and Don Armour set up their date. She was cleaning up the tank room 5 minutes before day's end when Don Armour's broad face loomed up at her shoulder, his eyelids drooping sleepily behind his glasses. "Denise," he said, "let me take you to dinner." She nodded quickly. "Okay." In a rough neighborhood, mostly poor and black, just north of downtown, was an old-fashioned soda shop and diner that Henry Dusenberry and his student thespians patronized. Denise had appetite for nothing more than iced tea and french fries, but Don Armour ordered a hamburger platter and a milkshake. His posture, she noticed, was a frog's. His head sank into his shoulders as he bent to the food. He chewed slowly, as if with irony. He cast bland smiles around the room, as if with irony. He pushed his glasses up his nose, with fingers whose nails, she noticed, were bitten to the pink. "I would never come to this neighborhood," he said. "These couple of blocks are pretty safe." "See, for you, that's true," he said. "A place can sense if you understand trouble. If you don't understand it, you get left alone. My problem is, I understand it. If I'd come to a street like this when I was your age, something ugly would have happened." "I don't see why." "It's just the way it is. I would look up, and suddenly there would be three strangers who hated my guts, and I hated theirs. This is a world you can't even see if you're an effective and happy person. A person like you walks right through it. It's waiting for someone like me to come along, so I can have the shit beat out of me. It's had me picked out from a mile away." Don Armour drove a big American sedan, similar to Denise's mother's, only older. He piloted it patiently onto an artery and headed west at a low speed, amusing himself by slouching at the wheel. "I'm slow, my car is bad," while other drivers roared by on the left and right. Denise directed him to Henry Dusenberry's house. The sun was still shining low in the west above the plywood-eyed train station when they mounted the stairs to Dusenberry's porch. Don Armour looked up at the surrounding trees, as if even the trees were somehow better, more expensive in this suburb. Denise had her hand on the screen door before she realized that the door behind it was open. "Lambert, is that you?" Henry Dusenberry came out of the gloom of his parlor. His skin was waxier than ever, his eyes more protuberant, and his teeth seemed larger in his head. "My mother's doctor sent me home," he said. "He wanted to wash his hands of me. I think he's had enough of death." Don Armour was retreating toward his car, head down. "Who's the Incredible Hulk?" Dusenberry said. "A friend from work," Denise said. "Well, you can't bring him in, I'm sorry. I won't have Hulks in the house. You'll have to find someplace else." "Do you have food? Are you all right here?" "Yes, run along. I feel better already being back. That doctor and I were mutually embarrassed by my health. Apparently, child, I'm quite without white blood cells." The man was shaking with fear. He was convinced I was going to die right there in his office. "Lambert, I felt so sorry for him." A dark hole of mirth opened in the sick man's face. "I tried to explain to him that my white blood cells needs are entirely nugatory, but he seemed intent on regarding me as a medical curiosity. I had lunch with Mother and took a taxi to the airport." "You're sure you're okay?" "Yes. Go, with my blessing. Be foolish, but not in my house. Go." It was unwise to be seen with Don Armour at her house before dark, with observant roots and curious driblets coming and going on the street. So she directed him to the elementary school and led him into the field of grass behind it. They sat amid the electronic menagerie of bug sounds, the genital intensity of certain fragrant shrubs, the fading heat of a nice July day. Don Armour put his arms around her belly, his chin on her shoulder. They listened to the dull pops of small bore fireworks. In her house, after dark, in the frost of its air conditioning, she tried to move him quickly toward the stairs, but he tarried in the kitchen. He lingered in the dining room. She was pierced by the unfairness of the impression that the house was obviously making. Although her parents weren't wealthy, her mother so yearned for a certain kind of elegance and had worked so hard to achieve it that to Don Armour the house looked like the house of rich people. He seemed reluctant to tread on the carpeting. He stopped and took proper note, as possibly no one else ever had, of the Waterford goblet and candy dishes that Enid kept on display in the break front. His eyes fell on each object, the music boxes, the Parisian street scenes, the matching and beautifully upholstered furniture. As they'd fallen on Denise's body, was it just today at lunch? She put her large hand in his larger hand, knitted her fingers into his, and pulled him toward the stairs. In her bedroom, on his knees, he planted his thumbs on her hip bones and pressed his mouth to her thighs and then to her whatever. She felt returned to a childhood world of Grimm and C.S. Lewis, where a touch could be transformative. His hands made her hips into a woman's hips. His mouth made her thighs into a woman's thighs. Her whatever into a cunt. These were the advantages of being wanted by someone older. To feel less like an ungendered marionette. To be given a guided tour of the state of her morphology. To have its usefulness elucidated by a person for whom it was just the ticket.